Welcome to Top 10 Questions with the Top Guns in Our Space Industry, where we interview today's movers and shakers, launching us into tomorrow's new horizons. I'm Ashley First, giving you a first look at the space industry's who's who. Our next guest won a $16 billion missile defense contract out from under Lockheed Boeing as just a 300-person Spectrum Astro team. He's worked with post-Soviet Russia on joint missile defense programs and survived house arrest in Russia for alleged espionage. He's an official founding father of space history, from SpaceX to now, Phantom Space. Hello, who in the space world are you?
I'm Jim Cantrell, I'm CEO of Phantom Space. And I'm the guy that's going to make small satellite launch an everyday occurrence and bring the price down by at least a half of what it is today, and less than what SpaceX charges. And we're doing it in record time.
Excellent. What separates Phantom Space's newest rocket, the Laguna, from its predecessors, and why is this exciting news for the space world? I understand it's more than double the thrust of your Daytona rocket.
Daytona's going to be our workhorse rocket, capable of launching the small satellites, less than 500 kilograms, and the Laguna will be twice as big, capable of launching twice as much into orbit, and it's a stepping stone on the way to having a main capability.
Compared to SpaceX's 50 to 60 launches per year, how many will Phantom Space do?
We're targeting 100 to 200, and we're launching small rockets instead of large reusables, and so we're able to exceed that amount of SpaceX.
Now, as a top gun in our space industry, you've been at the foundation of some iconic programs across the world.
Yeah, so I don't know if I should be referred to as Top Gun, but more like Forrest Gump, because I've been in all the battles, and I've been in a lot of places to witness the birth of the commercial space world.
Starting in the 80s, NASA had a Martian rover contest.
I became the national winner, and that's how I started off at JPL, Jet Propulsion Lab, and I worked on a Mars balloon mission. And that led me, actually, to
the 90s.
A balloon mission with the Soviets and French over in France. I worked there for 3 years. And when I came back from that, I continued to be involved in Mars missions, including several rover missions to Mars, one of which the Mars 2020 rover is rolling around on the surface.
And in the 2000s, you met a chap named Elon Musk, and the two of you founded
SpaceX, helped to start that up. I was the guy that took Elon to Russia to buy rockets from the Russians. And that was the first time they shot themselves in the foot by refusing to sell to him. And they essentially destroyed their own commercial satellite market by letting Elon go out and start his own satellite launch capability. So, you know, when we were there to buy the rockets, one of the groups spit on Elon's shoes and mine both.
Whoa.
Out of contempt for what we were trying to do, didn't take us seriously. So I've seen some amazing things all the way along, and it's been a great ride. And, you know, sort of come back to my later years of saying, hey, we here in the U.S. need to continue to be the most competitive nation on the earth in aerospace, which we are today.
That's right. Way to prove that no is just the first two letters of not yet, especially when you do it yourself. Prove that you can do it yourself.
Exactly.
And you helped Elon Musk develop the Falcon 1 rocket, and now they're up to Falcon 9?
Yeah.
Bravo. What's different about Phantom Space and makes it more promising than the other 166 small launch companies?
Yeah, Phantom Space is different because, you know, we want to be the Henry Ford of space by applying mass production to the launch vehicle and the satellites. And by doing so, we reduce the price by at least a half. And really, the secret to all of this is not just building them, but being able to launch them by the dozens. And that's where we're going to be quite different from everybody else. You know, we're trying to think of it as, how do we make money on this and how do we get to profitability as soon as we can? And we're doing this very rapidly by using a all U.S. supply chain and not developing the entire rocket ourselves like SpaceX did. And so we've secured launch sites around the world. Right now we have over 60 launches per year regulatorily approved. And we have a lot of customers who are already buying space on our rockets, including NASA, for venture class launch.
That sounds like quite the edge. You're building smaller, more powerful rockets. It's like a one-stop shopping for any business looking to tap into the final frontier.
That's right. Yeah, this would be lowering the barriers to getting there. Bring your ideas, we'll put them in space.
Love it. What's the biggest difference and commonality you've found working in space offices worldwide? Is there a greater solidarity than other industries?
Yeah, it's a great question you ask. Yeah, every nation does space differently, but ultimately we live by the same rules of physics, so we end up doing the same thing. It's how we work with each other that appears to be different, and how the nations fund their efforts. You know, Europe and Russia are still pretty much nation-state dominated, whereas in the U.S. we're transitioning to venture-funded commercial operations, which tend to be a lot more efficient and cheaper. So as you work with these different groups around the world, the Europeans tend to be better at working through different nations because they've had to consolidate all of their resources together to create the equivalent of NASA, whereas we have that all in one country here.
Oh, I see. And Europeans tend to speak more than one language in general. I understand you're a polyglot. You speak how many?
Depends on what you call speak, but I speak English and French. I speak Russian. I've forgotten a lot of it. Also speak Italian and a bit of Spanish.
Well, bon, dobro, bene, and bueno.
All right. What's something you're excited to see happen in your lifetime, and how will that affect the space economy?
So I really hope that I see the first human on Mars in my lifetime. It's something that is a big symbol of humanity's expansion beyond Earth. Earth is our little pond that we were born in, that we expand from, and it will be dwarfed by the kind of expansion that we'll see once we have the cosmos at our feet. And it's really going to be symbolized by that colony on Mars. And the most famous person ever in the world will be that person that is first born off the face of the Earth, whether it's the Moon or Mars. And that would be even better if I saw that in my lifetime.
Oh my. And it's no doubt that Phantom Space is helping the cause, since you do things in half the time as SpaceX at probably a fraction of the cost.
Yes, it's all about building up the whole ecosystem. And the healthier the rest of the space ecosystem goes, then the easier it's going to be for companies like SpaceX to go do these things on Mars and so forth. SpaceX made a space safer investing, for example. We live off those coattails, and I hope that Phantom Space can create similar coattails that the rest of the space industry can live off of and be remembered for that.
Excellent.
Speaking of Mars, which is more important, humanity on the moon or on Mars, and why?
Really, there's probably no reason to pick one or the other. It's kind of a personal preference. For me, it's Mars because I think it's more symbolic of living somewhere far away from the Earth. And I think the moon is really a stepping stone to a lot of places. It's a place where resources can be derived for the benefit of humanity on Earth, as well as construction of items to be flown into space. And Mars is really a future habitat. It once was a warmer, wetter place, and even more, it's a symbolic place for us to take our next steps.
Exactly, and that's why I start our IROC Space Radio News every week with the Mars Weather and Traffic Report. You know, what the rovers are up to and what they're discovering on the river deltas.
Yeah, those are great.
On a scale of 0 to 1,000 hectopascal, where Martian air is a slim 7 and sea level is 1,000, what are the chances of Brittany Griner getting out of Russia before her sentence is done?
Oh, it's as slow as you can get.
Okay, and you would know, you've been detained by them.
I have.
All right, what's the most incredible thing you've ever seen at the office due to your hard work and thought, I love my job?
You know, really it has to be starting SpaceX, and that whole consult with Elon Musk starting in 2001 gave me no indication that it would ever end up being where it is today, or that even SpaceX would exist. So, you know, just this business of going over to Russia on that one trip, and having the Russians turn Elon down, and these two giants of the industry walk out on our last visit into the Moscow winter on our way to the airport. And I'm depressed, kicking the snow, thinking we failed. And all we've done is we've started an entirely new, massively significant phase in humanity's exploration of space. That was, without a doubt, the most incredible thing I've ever seen at the office.
Oh my goodness, nothing like the satisfaction of doing it yourself and proving it can be done right here on your own home soil and on your own terms.
Exactly.
Okay, you're used to all kinds of kilonewtons of thrust and pressure, but are you ready for our rapid fire fill in the blanks?
Go for it.
Okay. At work, I'm known for
being incredibly independent-minded.
I'd like to be remembered for
being the spark that helped start modern commercial space economy.
Yes, Catalyst is your middle name.
Yeah, right.
The music that gets me rocking and I'd like to hear on IROC Space Radio is
the Ventures album called War of the Satellites. The song on it that I like the best is He Never Came Back.
Ooh.
Well, Jim, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Yeah, thank you. My pleasure.
This has been Top 10 Questions with the Top Guns in Our Space Industry, where we interview today's movers and shakers, launching us into tomorrow's new horizons. I'm Ashley First, and I've given you a first look at the space industry's who's who.
And that's a wrap.
Pretty cool.